You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You are now entering the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo-archaeology. Hello and welcome to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 182. I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and tonight, Don Verdeen is a terrible movie. Don't believe me? Watch it. All right, well, hello everybody and welcome back to the show. I am sorry I wasn't around for my last recording time. And we were forced by me to put up one of my old shows, you know, instead, because I didn't make my time slot. Isn't that sad? I mean, already you're just like, ugh, lack of professionalism with this guy. But anyway, today I thought I would talk about the movie Don Verdeen. And I know you're like, what? What movies? Huh? Why am I talking about this out of the way movie? Is it because I'm super creative? No. It's because other people are super creative and I'm just riding on their coattails, specifically the podcast Screens of the Stone Age. If you have not checked out Screens of the Stone Age, definitely do. The main host, Josh, is there along with Kim and Ross. And every so often they invite me to review a movie. And I feel several things here, my friends. First, I feel that their podcast itself is genius. It's a great idea where you have three real anthropology people talking about their reactions to anthropology related movies. You know, it's usually archaeology, but it's anything sort of anthropological. And these are all professionals. These are all people with advanced degrees. And I just find it's a great, fun, lighthearted way of reaching out to the general public, right? And just talking about the fallacies in these different movies and always with a bit of a smile, you know? And so I want to start this with a massive shout out to those guys and their show and their production. You know, I just love it. I can't recommend enough that you guys go over to Screens of the Stone Age and subscribe and just listen. You know, they do a great job. And so many of the movies they pick are just so funny because they're so awful. There's definitely a Mystery Science Theater 3000 vibe to those guys in the best possible sense. So the backstory of why I'm doing Don Verdeen is they got in touch with me and were like, hey, do you want to do Don Verdeen with us? And I was like, sure, I've done this two times, if not three times in the past. I'm sort of like their Steve Martin. And what I mean by that is Steve Martin was never officially a member of Saturday Night Live. A lot of people don't know that. He was just a special guest a lot of times, you know, so I love being their Steve Martin. And so they recommended this movie and I watched it and I did the podcast with them and it was a lot of fun. But the reason why I wanted to revisit Don Verdeen tonight is not just because I'm lazy, and we all know that's true. It's also just because it's been on my mind, you guys. It's sort of like it's been sitting there in the back of my skull. And I'm like, man, what is it? What is it about that movie that it just drives me nuts? And I will say, when we started the podcast, the Screens of the Stone Age one, they didn't hate the movie nearly as much as I did, right? First off. And of course, we'll get into what the movie actually is momentarily. But I love that initial reaction. And I was surprised. You know, I thought we were going to come in. And you know me, I'm pretty relaxed. I will say that I always want all movies to succeed. And I always am trying to look for their best side, you know, or always trying to defend them in the way I know how difficult it is. As I've bragged and joked about a million and a half times on here, I do have a film degree, right? So I've kind of been there a little bit more than most in terms of just feeling the difficulty of making a movie, starting with an idea and making it a real product. So I am always a cheerleader of these things. But I was really negative on Don Verdeen, and the other guys weren't. And I respect their feeling. They're not here to say it was a great movie, but they thought it was like, okay, part of it is. I only look at movies every so often. You know, you guys on this podcast, I usually talk about situations or recent stories in archaeology or something. It's fairly rare that I look at movies. They look at movies all the time. And go over to Screens of the Stone Age and look at their back catalog, and you'll see, you're like, oh yeah, it is very Mystery Science Theater 3000, right? They've watched all those movies. So they're used to watching some real shit. So just because Don Verdeen definitely does get from point A to point B, it all immediately gets at least a C grade, I think, by them. And I totally get that. With that said, why do I think Don Verdeen is so terrible, and what's the movie about? Okay. You know what? I'm just going to give you the setup first, and then I'll bitch and moan. So Don Verdeen is the story of basically a pseudo archaeologist. It came out about 10 years ago. So I think it came out in like 2015 or something like this. And Don Verdeen is a pseudo archaeologist, very much in the Graham Hancock vibe. And the movie pokes fun at that. And so immediately, wouldn't you think that somebody like me would love this movie and be like, yay, it's a rare movie about a pseudo-archaeologist where they're poking fun at pseudo-archaeology. Like, shouldn't I feel like I've finally been heard, finally, the lone host of the pseudo-archaeology podcast. But it's such a shit movie that I'm like, oh no. You know, it basically almost does the opposite of what it tries to do, I think, because it's so terrible. So Don Verdeen is played by Sam Rockwell. And Sam Rockwell is, if you guys, you know him or know of him, he's really good at picking sort of offbeat, kind of fun, quirky characters. He does a lot of those. But, you know, he's a really big star. He's done very well for himself in Hollywood. So he plays this pseudo-archaeology guy who's kind of down on his luck. The movie starts with what is obviously an ancient VHS copy. You know how they make it look old on the screen, of Don Verdeen in his better days, you know, of this old VHS copy with terrible narration and, you know, crappy quality, sort of showing him on one of his earlier adventures. And he's obviously trying to sell himself, you know, and it looks terrible. They then flip to 10 years later. He's still doing his same sort of tired speech. And you can tell there's very few people watching him. It's not going that great. He's just an old shyster selling his old tired ideas. This happens to be in a church setting. But after that goes, he's down on his luck. Oh, he lives in an RV and he has a woman with him, a woman helper who obviously needs to be his love interest at some point. Her name is Carol, played by Amy Ryan, who is famous from like The Office. And he ends up getting sort of in cahoots with the pastor of this church. And they're both sort of working together. The pastor wants more followers, and he wants to do this by having Don Verdeen bring him very cool artifacts, right? Of biblical nature artifacts, right? And so that'll get more people in his church. Don Verdeen says, sure. Don Verdeen has a connection in kind of the Holy Land, right? So think of like in Israel, right? That area of the world. He calls his connection, who is played by Mr. Flight of the Conchords himself, Jemaine Clement. And, you know, he's sort of this silly, over-the-top character. He says he has this stone sculpture of Lot's wife. It's this huge sort of stone outcrop. And it's funny because she looks like she has two big boobs, like in stone. And then Don Verdeen says, great, grab that and send it to me. He sends him like a totally different stone, which is a guy who looks like he has like a big schlong on the front. You know, again, it sounds very funny already. But it's not. That goes over, though. It works. But they realize they need more. So the idea is that what the story turns on, this where act one kind of ends is we're going to go find the skull of Goliath, right? We're going to go to the Holy Land and we're going to find the remains of Goliath, of David and Goliath fame. So they go on this adventure to find Goliath. They quickly realize that they're not going to be able to find Goliath, you know, because it's just impossible. And they realize they're going to have to lie, right? That they're truly going to have to fake it, right? Try find sort of some way to find a fake skull. And so Sam Rockwell kind of through some Googling finds a fictional character, obviously, who died in 1947 named Johnny Jerusalem, who was a wrestler who apparently had like gigantism. So at night, he goes to the cemetery at night and grave robs the skull of Johnny Jerusalem. And the skull is like comically huge. And he takes it and then he salts a site. He finds another area out in the desert, buries the skull, and then has his love interest, Amy Ryan, dig up the skull the next day. She doesn't know it's fake, you know, and then she's like, wow. It's captured, of course, on other people's cell phones who happen to be walking by in this desert location. And then that becomes huge. Sam Rockwell then drops the church because the church is small potatoes, and he goes with this billionaire Chinese benefactor who's going to give him money. Now, of course, because this is all based on the lie, things kind of go from bad to worse. Everyone wants their piece. The Jermaine Clement character kind of makes his life more difficult by, you know, wanting sort of more and more of a piece of the action, making bad choices. You know, this is, of course, supposed to be funny and like sort of lighthearted, and it completely doesn't work, which I'll talk about later. But then after this amazing find, which people are starting to question a little, the Chinese billionaire says he wants the ultimate, you know, he wants the Holy Grail. So they go on this very quickly contrived Holy Grail mission, where Sam Rockwell has, of course, salted a complete Holy Grail site. Salting a site, you guys, means faking a site, means putting, you know, fake artifacts or taking real artifacts and putting them somewhere specifically to find. It's a lie, right? To salt the site is you're making a lie by burying something in a criminal fashion that shouldn't be there. So he's made this whole sort of fake Holy Grail. And of course, it's a rip from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He takes the Chinese billionaire there. He and the Chinese billionaire and Jermaine Clement are all there to get it. They get, and of course, it's all fake. They get the fake Holy Grail. They run out. They pay some people to shoot at them. Of course, one of them gets shot for real. It's, of course, the billionaire Chinese guy who gets shot for real. Then they end up in the hospital. We're in the hospital. We realize that it's all been fake, that the Chinese billionaire is really just an actor hired just to catch Don Verdeen. And in the end, Don Verdeen and Jermaine Clement go to jail. And in the last scene, though, Don Verdeen is at the same jail where Amy Ryan's son is. We learned this very early on that he has been, you know, he's made bad choices and is there in jail. So the last scene is where Don Verdeen, Sam Rockwell, can help Amy Ryan's wayward son in jail. The end. That's the movie. It's really terrible. When we come back, let's delve into the terribleness. Hello, and welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 182, and we have been discussing the movie Don Verdeen, which I believe came out in 2015, and I am ripping off the podcast screens of the Stone Age, who so kindly had me to talk about this movie. And, you know, it's funny, based on the timing, I don't know if I'm doing a supplement to Screams of the Stone Age or if I'm doing like a preview to Screens of the Stone Age. In podcast world, the timing of things can be a bit unknown or a bit difficult, or people are all running on different schedules or different dates, right? When their podcast comes out. It actually doesn't matter either way. I'm not giving away any secrets, you know. So you can listen to these in either order. They're just sort of a slightly different take on both things. I will say that on Screams of the Stone Age, those guys are really good at going into the nuts and bolts of what's wrong archaeologically or scientifically, right, with each movie. They really do their due diligence and take good time on that. I won't. So if you want to really get into the nitty-gritty, and I mean that in the best possible sense, of what Don Verdeen does wrong in terms of science, in terms of would that work in reality, again, definitely tune into those guys. I swear, you guys, I don't care if my entire podcast is just one big commercial for Screams of the Stone Age, because they just kick ass. It's like I have pride for them. You know, I'm like, man, I'm so proud of you guys. Your show is so awesome. Anyway. What does that leave for me? Well, it leaves for me to have fun and riff on some of this stuff. The reason why I find this movie to be so terrible, and the audience seems to agree with me, if you go online, I believe this movie literally made $30,000 upon release. That is awful. I find it so bad because it's the same thing that I bitch and moan about so much, which is tone. I'm always about tone in movies. I'm like, you have to have your tone correct. What do I mean by tone? Let's take a movie that has perfect tone. And there are many. Star Wars. The original Star Wars movie has perfect tone. What do I mean by that? When you watch Star Wars, A New Hope, you are invested in the movie, right? You believe what's happening in the movie for the time. This doesn't mean that you believe that there's spaceships in reality or something. It's that you believe the characters in that world are reacting honestly to what is happening in their world. And you believe in the creation of that world. You allow yourself to be taken on this really fun story. And when things happen in that story, like when Luke or Han Solo come across some stormtroopers, they react in a way that seems right, right? You go like, oh, right. They're scared and they kind of shoot back and they're trying to run away, right? That's what you would do. Because as you watch a movie, you put yourself in that world, right? And so you want to be rewarded by that world, having them react how you would react, right? It's really simple. It's can be very hard to do. I find tone to be one of the most difficult things to get really, really good. But I would say it's easy not to do it really, really bad, if that makes it. All you need to do is invest in the world you've created and make the characters react well. You know, if you're a fan of Harry Potter has great tone. Great. Right. Where all the kids react in a honest, normal, how you would expect kids to react in the moment. Great. Don Verdeen has horrible tone. It is just full of people reacting in ways that make no sense, that where you would not react that way, you know, and it's because they go for this tone that's way over the top, right? And what I mean by that is it's they're going for this joke world where everything's a joke. And look, I love comedy. I love jokes, but being in a joke world does not equal funny. I did say this on the Screams of the Stone Age podcast. I feel like they were going for a Ron Burgundy Anchorman vibe, right? So if any of you guys have seen Anchorman or many of the Will Ferrell things, many of them old school, anything. So many movies use this recipe and it works well. And it's this: you have an over the top character. We'll use Ron Burgundy, but you can use any of them. This would also work for like Zoolander, you know, any sort of really over the top character driven movie. So you have that character, and that character can do crazy off the wall stuff. Like Ron Burgundy does insane, you know, the way he is, that guy doesn't really exist in reality. Derek Zoolander doesn't really exist in reality. Don Verdeen is like that too. That person doesn't exist in reality. It's a Don Verdeen is a pastiche and a take on people like Graham Hancock, right? Ron Burgundy is a take on those over-the-top kind of late 70s, early 80s anchormen. But in order for that to work, for that story to make sense, the tone, you have to temper your tone with a straight man, right? And so in the Ron Burgundy world, that's Christina Applegate, right? Christina Applegate is his love interest and also kind of his supporting character. And she is there to go, Ron, that's crazy. Ron, that'll never work. Ron, we live in the real world, you know, and you see him through Christina's eyes and you go, oh, yeah, okay. Because that's how you would react. If you saw Ron Burgundy, you'd be like, you're crazy. That's like, that'll never, that's terrible. That's a terrible choice. And that's what Christina Applegate does. You have the same sort of thing in Zoolander. Don Verdeen doesn't have that. So it just immediately becomes totally stupid, right? This is the Amy Ryan character could have so easily brought Don Verdeen to grounded him and been like, Don, that's a terrible idea. That'll never work. What do you mean the skull of Goliath? That's crazy, right? And then that would add tension, and it would add real emotion. And you would want to know, because you're like, yeah, Don, that is crazy. How are you going to get around this? Right. That it would have made it such a good movie. I think that's one of the reasons why I hate's a strong word, but why I just think this movie is utter crap, because it was 2 degrees from being really good, you know, and they dropped the ball horribly just with that. So instead of being grounded in anything real, you just have a constant litany of like gags and sort of look at them. Aren't they stupid? I don't care. You know, it's one of those ones where watching it is a slog fest. By the end, you just want to go away. You want to turn it off so bad. I will say most recently I watched The Substance. And I felt like that, too. The Substance is a god-awful movie. It's impressively terrible. Like, that's one where it was sort of half sort of voted for me, you know, by a handful of people. Oh, you should check out The Substance. You guys, it's god-awful. Unwatchable. It's not just the body horror part. It's just a god-awful, stinky piece of crap movie. As Don Verdeen is. So I looked into Don Verdeen a little more in terms of like who could make this awful piece of junk. And so it was directed by Jared Hess and sort of produced to with his wife, Jerusha. I guess the two of them work together on this, and they do have an impressive pedigree. They did Napoleon Dynamite. I love Napoleon Dynamite, right? And Napoleon Dynamite is quirky. It is quirky throughout. But it has heart, right? Don Verdeen has no heart. And unfortunately for them, again, I want Jared Hess and his wife to be successful. You know, I want their movies to be successful. But it looks like they made one or two decent ones, and they've made some real stinkers in the last while. So I'm like, you guys, put heart in your movie by getting a straight man in there. Go as wild as you want, and then everything will be okay. Just add straight man. With that said, when we come back, more of my rantings on Don Verdeen. Hello, and welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 182, otherwise known as a big commercial for screens of the Stone Age, because they're awesome. Anyway, I thought I would just spend this last segment talking a little bit about the specifics of my notes that I actually wrote right during watching this. Some of this I'm sure I talked about on the Screens of the Stone Age podcast. Some of this I'm sure I didn't. Starting at the beginning, I'm laughing at my own notes. I wrote, and you guys know how this is. It's like as you're watching a movie, you just sort of, at least for me, I have kind of a blank piece of paper there. And I just write stuff almost to the side, right? Sort of as you're watching in real time, not to pause it too much or anything. But so some of my notes, if you picture it in your mind's eye, the stuff sort of written to the side is kind of all over the place. So I'm sure I will jump time-wise in the movie as we go through it, which is fine. A little tiny note. Oh, I think Ross said this during the Screens of the Stone Age, the quote was "tapestry of nonsense." I love that. A tapestry of nonsense. Right. I think I added that note while I was doing the podcast. So, yes, Don Verdine is a tapestry of nonsense. I wrote in the very beginning of this movie, it has this intro of this, you know, this crappy VHS copy has to say that Don Verdine, you know, used to be this lame. I felt that was a terrible intro. I felt that they should have cut out the VHS copy intro because it intros you into a way over the top tone, right? It was taking a sort of a late 80s, early 90s VHS setup and making it so over the top and such a caricature of itself where there's just nowhere to go, you know, and immediately you go, nobody's that silly. Nobody's that stupid that they don't know that they're looking foolish, right? Graham Hancock's not that stupid. Not whatsoever, right? We can, as I've said many times on this show, we can make fun of Graham Hancock all day and he can just go over to his bank account and cry into his piles of money. And there's a reason for that. You know, we can't just go, he's so stupid. It doesn't work. I wrote love story because it's dying for a love story. And there's sort of a half-assed love story between Don and Carol that doesn't really come to fruition. It's odd. And this is one of my first moments here. There are scenes throughout the entire movie. People don't talk like people would talk. This is not like in Star Wars where Luke or Han or Leia are going to say things that normal people would say in that situation. I put, everybody is stupid. Yeah, like all the characters are like, look at me, I'm so stupid. Isn't that funny? It's not funny. It's flat and unwatchable. I wrote, do I feel like watching stupid people do stupid stuff? Yeah, exactly. I'm agreeing with my younger self. I wrote, why do I care in any way? Oh my God, totally. So when you become this farcical, you immediately divorce your audience from any sort of caring. You just don't, you can't care. You want to care. We all want to care. We all want to be invested. We can't invest because the characters are not human. That's really the deal. They are not human. Oh, I put, which character do I see myself in? Exactly. Good job, Andrew. In all movies, and it's usually the main character, right? You need to see yourself in that character. You need to look at them and go, oh yeah, that, like, I aspire to be that guy, right? Every kid watching Star Wars wants to be Luke Skywalker. He is the hero, which is why Star Wars 8 is such a god-awful, atrocious movie. Don't get me started, right? But we need to find a character to invest ourselves in. There is nobody here. They are all crazy. That brings me back to what I was talking about before with the Ron Burgundy thing. We invest in, while Ron's the main character and we feel for him, we invest in Christina Applegate because we see through her eyes. We're like, thank you, Christina, for saying what was on my mind. Oh, I wrote, I know what's going to happen in each scene. I want to fast forward so bad. Yes, because when you're doing this farcical, like, waste of time bullshit, I swear, you guys, I'm pretty stupid. And I say this just sort of in honesty. I'm slow in terms of seeing what can happen next. Everyone has that friend who knows, who's just like, oh, look, the murderer is that guy. Yeah, and they're always right. I'm not that person. I very easily get taken along by a movie and go, oh, yeah, you know, and I enjoy it. I can't see what's going to happen next. I'm slow on that. In this movie, I called it 100% of the time, which is horrible. Like, if I can do it, that's terrible. Oh, I did. I said this on Screens of the Stone Age. There was they did this little carbon 14 correction bit where they were talking about carbon 14 and they actually talked about how real carbon 14 works. I did write an audience of one, me, but that was cool. That was cool. Oh, a real dropped ball. There's a relationship scene in the coffee shop. Where this would have been where Carol and Don could have totally had a deep conversation and they didn't. What a dropped ball. with all the false starts and terrible crap of this movie, the Johnny Jerusalem bit was hilarious. It was funny. Good for them. There was one funny joke in there. I was trying to look at my notes here. I think I wrote funny dance is never funny. Absolutely. If you're like, look at me, I'm doing a funny dance. It's just like when you have group of people singing a song together. Horrible, never funny, awful. Don't do it. These people know better. Jared Hess knows better. What's he doing? Oh, here's another. This is near the end. They take a gun out in a hospital. Like this, and I'd happened to watch this just when I was having to visit my mother in the hospital very, very recently. She passed away very recently, and I had just gotten done being in a hospital. And I know that most of us haven't just gotten done being in a hospital, but many of us have been in hospitals before and know that there's some sort of check in the beginning where you have to bring your backpack through and they go through your backpack. You can't just bring a gun to a hospital. It's just there. And there's police officers that, you know, there's always one or two police officers there. They have a presence. And so they have this whole farcical thing about it, about someone bringing a gun out. It's so stupid, you guys. Like this, that one, I'm like, how dare you be that freaking lame? It's unbelievable. Stop it. You know, it just like, what a piece of brutal piece of shit. Now, you guys, I'm actually looking in the margin. Like I wrote once I've just been like brutalized by a movie, I'll tend to like just write stuff in the margin of my paper. I have real problems, ? Real responses, ? Exactly. They don't really have real problems. Well, they do, but they're not exploited. And I mean exploited in a good way, right? They're not exploited for the good of the story. It's just like waste of time crap. Real responses, never. Look at the writing. Look at the way they talk. It's awful. Nobody says that. Again, looking back to our example of Star Wars, everyone, that makes sense when they talk back and forth. And I know we can make the joke about Luke Skywalker, you know, with power converters or whatever, but it's fine. Over, you don't watch Star Wars and go, well, that I wouldn't have said that, you know, like you're invested. You're invested. I wrote, what else did I write in the margin? I wrote, oh, yeah, so much funnier if played real. Exactly. Stop your overacting. You know, like play it real, play the scene real, like there's real stakes. Oh, such a missed opportunity. Just that, the whole thing would have been so much better, because movies played to be funny are terrible. Yet notice this if you are a fan of Naked Gun. The first Naked Gun movie is hilarious, right? Leslie Nielsen, why is Leslie Nielsen hilarious? He plays it straight. He is in a world where in his world, that's how this is. Right. And so, but then you have other people in that world being like, this is crazy. Right. So it makes it great. If you watch the later Naked Guns, especially if you're watching like Naked Gun 33 and a third, Leslie Nielsen starts doing like funny face looks and stuff. And it's terrible. It's much less funny. The original was so much better. I wrote down, let's see, what else have I written down? Completely unsurprising. Overacting. Cliche in a bad way. There is nothing to recommend this. Is there more of a waste of time movie than this? No, it's one of the, it is a waste of your life. This is one of the rare times, friends, where I'd be like, yeah, just don't even bother watching this even for a joke. Like the other ones, what's funny is I've talked about on here, both on Screens of the Stone Age, and then like a year later after I did it on Screens of the Stone Age, I talked about the movie 2012. 2012 is a shitty movie, but I would way watch 2012 over this, because in 2012, at least the characters are real people, and they tend to, in the scenes, they have real like talking that a human would do. You can see yourself in the John Cusack character. You can follow, like that's fine. Now 2012 is crap, and they have some dumbass scenes, and they have unbelievable BS in it, like throughout. but the people are at least real, not here, right? I wrote Dying for a Straight Man, who wrote and directed and produced this shit. So I already talked about Jared Hess. They also got this other guy, so a couple other guys, Dave Hunter, Jason Hatfield, Brent Anderson. I looked them up and I remember one of them was like an independently wealthy dude. So it's like the movie within the movie, you know, they went to this like super rich guy and were just like, give us some money for this movie. And he's like, sure, I guess. Right. So like just picture like just some independently wealthy weird dude in Malibu. Like that's at least that's what I picture, that they had to go to his like huge Malibu mansion and he's just, you know, high on cocaine and there's like a bunch of hookers all over and he's just like, yeah, here, take this, and just gives him a wad of cash. That's at least that's what I, that story would be much better than Don Verdeen. Ooh, my last line. And I quote, Kinkella 2026 says, quote, unwatchable, deadly piece of shit. Huh. Well, I think that pretty much does it. So sadly, you have a movie with the possibility of being a great sort of just farcical fun take on the Graham Hancocks of the world. But honestly, all it does is make Graham Hancock look great. I would honestly way rather watch a Graham Hancock show than this horrendous piece of crap. And that's me. That's host of the pseudo-archaeology. That's how bad this movie is. I think that about does it for the 56th time. Special thanks to Screens of the Stone Age. I definitely want to add a link below. Go check those guys out. It's fun. I listen to their shows even when I'm not on it. That, my friends, is high praise. And with that, I'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. The Archaeology Podcast Network's chief editor is Rachel Roden. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media and newsletter coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. The APN was founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle on December 1st, 2014. We're supported by our amazing podcast hosts, many volunteers, and listeners like you. Check out membership at www.archpodnet.com/members.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.